The Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day Fellowship presents The Way It Ought to Be, with the good news of the Kingdom of God coming to the earth and how you may prepare for it and avoid the calamities just around the corner.
This is Pete Hornbuckle with The Way It Ought to Be. Was Christ resurrected on what we call Easter Sunday? Was he crucified on what we call Good Friday and put in the tomb on Friday? How do you get 3 days and three nights out of late Friday to sunrise on Sunday? Maybe we ought to try to figure that one out. And you will want to ponder that religious teaching if you're really seeking the truth. Notice what's recorded in Matthew 12, beginning in verse 38. That's Matthew 12, verse 38. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." But he answered and said to them, "An evil and an adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah." Now here they were, religious leaders of that day, wanting a sign that Christ was the Messiah. And here's a sign that he gave them. Notice in verse 40, "For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Now that is plain language. A six-year-old child would have no problem understanding that statement made by Jesus Christ. 3 days and three nights would be 72 hours. I think we all know that from late Friday to sunrise Sunday is a long ways from 72 hours, or from 3 days and three nights. Let's look at that passage again and see what else Christ was telling those people, and you and me, and the world for that matter. Go back to Matthew 12, verse 38 again. "Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, 'Teacher, we want to see a sign from you.' But he answered and said to them, 'An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah.'" Now, do you realize what Christ was saying here, my friend? He was saying that if I stay exactly 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth or in the tomb, it will prove that I am the Messiah, that I am the Savior of the world. Verse 40, "For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Now you notice Christ didn't say, "I will be in the heart of the earth half the amount of time that Jonah was in the belly of the whale." Now, you need to think about that. And you need to think about the fact that this was the only sign that Christ gave to the world to prove he was the Messiah. That was a sign he gave the scribes and Pharisees that asked him for a sign. What was that sign? Was it the fact that he would be resurrected? No, not in itself alone, but the sign that would prove he was and is the Messiah, the Christ, and the Savior of the world was the length of time he would be in the tomb. That's important to understand, the length of time that he was in the tomb. If Christ remained exactly 3 days and three nights in the tomb, not a second more or not a second less, he would prove he was the Savior of the world. Did Christ know how long Jonah was in the belly of the fish? Did Christ know the length of a day and night? Notice in John 11, beginning in verse 9, Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world." In other words, he's talking about daylight hours of a day. Notice verse 10. "But if one walks in the night, that is in the dark of a night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." You would think if anyone knew the length of a day and night, it would be Jesus Christ. It was he who created the day and the night. Text after text tells us Jesus rose the third day. Notice how the Bible defines daytime and nighttime. Notice how many days and nights is required to make 3 days and three nights, which is a period of 72 hours. Notice in Genesis 1, beginning in verse 4, "And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness." Now here God was creating day and night. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Did you catch that, my friend? The day, the daylight hour, the evening and the morning and the night, they were the first day. It says so. So the evening and the morning, the dark of night and the daylight hours of the day were the first day. Then God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Notice that, my friends, the evening and the morning, the dark of a night and the daylight hours of the day were the second day, he said. Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. Now notice verse 13. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Another evening and another morning, another dark of night, and another daylight hour were the third day. Now this is very plain as to what a day and a night is. Did you notice there were three evenings, three dark periods, and three mornings, three light periods that made 3 days and three nights, 72 hours? Most people won't argue with that definition of the day in this passage. Neither will they argue with the time period of which Jonah was in the belly of the fish. Most will admit that in the Hebrew language, which the book of Jonah and the book of Genesis were written, that 3 days and three nights means a period of 72 hours. Notice Jonah 1 and verse 17. Now you know Christ had mentioned that he would be in the heart of the earth the same amount of time that Jonah was in the belly of the fish. And notice what it says here in Jonah 1 verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Yes, 72 hours. And Christ said that he would be in the heart of the earth, in the tomb, would be buried for a period of 72 hours, 3 days and three nights, before he would be resurrected, which that if he were resurrected within that period of time, right to the split second, that it would prove that he was the Messiah. It was a sign, and the only sign that Christ really gave to prove that he was the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior of the world. Jonah 2 and verse 10 says this, so the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Yes, within a period of 72 hours. Jonah was resurrected, or vomited up, within the period of 72 hours to become a Savior to the people of Nineveh, by proclaiming a warning to them. And Christ was resurrected within the period of 72 hours, 3 days and three nights, to become the Savior of the world. He wasn't resurrected in 1.5 days. Maybe you should think about that, my friends. Perhaps you would like to make your own study and prove the truth about the resurrection of our Savior and the fact that he gave the sign of Jonah being in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights as a sign of himself being the Savior and the Messiah of the world. The sign was not his resurrection in itself, but exactly when he would be resurrected. And it was exactly 3 days and three nights, 72 hours, not 36 hours. Where does the Bible even command us to observe Christ's resurrection? Had you ever thought about that? Well, it doesn't. And you aren't doing so by a Sunday morning sunrise service. Now, perhaps you should think about that. We have examined two scriptural witnesses in Matthew and in Jonah, both setting the duration of the body of Christ in the tomb as 3 days and three nights, which the scriptures plainly define as 72 hours of time. Now let us examine four other scriptural witnesses and prove the same thing. Notice in Mark 8, verse 31. That's Mark 8, verse 31. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders, of the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Notice that, my friend, not after a day and a half, but after 3 days rise again. Any young second grader can figure this out. If Jesus had been killed on Friday and then after 1 day risen, the resurrection would have occurred on Saturday evening. If after 2 days, it would have occurred Sunday evening. And if after 3 days, it would have occurred Monday evening. Examine this text carefully. You cannot, by any process of arithmetic, figure any less than a full 72 hours, 3 days and three nights, in a resurrection which occurred 3 days after the crucifixion. If Jesus was in the grave only from Friday sunset to Sunday sunrise, then this text also must be torn out of your Bible, or else you must reject Jesus Christ as your Savior. If he rose after 3 days, it might have been more than 72 hours, but it could not have been a second less. It could not have been a second more, and it could not have been a second less, because Christ plainly said that as Jonah were 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, so he would be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, and he gave that as a sign that would prove he was the Messiah. Notice in Mark 9, verse 31, they shall kill him, and after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. Now notice that, my friend, it isn't speaking about a day and a half. It's speaking about the third day. The duration expressed here must be between 48 hours and 72 hours. It could not be 1 second past 72 hours, and Jesus still rise the third day. And it could not be Friday sunset to Sunday sunrise, because that is only 36 hours, carrying us into the middle of the second day after he was killed. In Matthew 27, verse 63, Jesus is quoted as saying, "After 3 days I will rise again." This cannot possibly be figured at less than 72 hours. And in John 2, verse 18 through 22, Jesus answered and said unto them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." But he spoke of the temple of his body to be raised up in 3 days after being destroyed or crucified and buried. Could not be more than 72 hours, and it could not be less than 72 hours. If we are to accept all the testimony of the Bible, we must conclude that Jesus was exactly 3 days and three nights, three full 24-hour days, 72 hours in the grave, or the only supernatural proof he gave must fail. On the next program, if you keep listening, we'll get into the very time of the day that Christ was resurrected. And we will prove beyond a doubt that Christ was in the grave 72 hours, 3 days and three nights, that he really knew what made up 3 days and three nights, that he really knew how long Jonah was in the belly of the fish, as we have just quoted here. So in the meantime, if you'd like to make your own study, if you'd like more understanding about this topic and prove to yourself that what Christ said is true, that Christ was resurrected within the period of 72 hours, request our free booklet, Resurrection Not on Sunday. It will guide you through the Bible and lead you through many places that I don't have time on one or two broadcasts to take you to. You need that booklet, and you need to know when your Savior was resurrected. You need to know that what Christ said was true. And all you need to do to receive this free booklet is just call us, the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, at 573-238-3675, or you may email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com, or log on to our website to order online, www.thewayitoughttobe.org, or call us at 238-3675, or email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com. This is Pete Hornbuckle on behalf of the Marble Hill Church of God. Thanks for joining us today, and I hope, my friend, that you will want to understand this vital truth.
Thanks for listening to Pete Hornbuckle and the Way It Ought to Be program, presented by the faithful members and co-workers of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, located on County Road 300, one block north of the Cat Ranch in Marble Hill, meeting Saturday, the Sabbath, at 2 p.m. You can listen to our previously recorded broadcasts or order free literature on our website at www.thewayitoughttobe.org. Or call us at 573-238-3675, or email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com. Our address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764.